on today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we're going to talk a little bit more about learning teams. We've been on a learning team role a little bit, but today we're going to talk about roles and responsibilities around the learning team process. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. Man, oh man, it is a great day. The sun is shining. What can I say? I have no complaints. Every day that I'm on this side of the dirt, I don't really have very many complaints. And I try my best to try to work my way through those on my own. If I do have some complaints, I got to tell you that some of my complaint free stuff, don't get me wrong. I have stress and I get freaked out and I panic and it's life. That's just how this thing goes. But I've set some pretty basic rules around my profession, because that's what leads us towards a lot of stress in our lives, right? That whole work life thing that we do. I've got to tell you that those basic rules for me, it really starts with this: is I do good work. That's the first thing. I focus on doing good work. The second thing, doing it for the right reason, so with the right intentions. And then third, I got to be having fun. And I know that that sounds probably like the most non-businessy answer, but that's how I choose clients. That's how I choose what jobs I will take and what jobs I will not take. That's pretty much it. When I sort through, like, am I going to go here or there? Am I going to work with so-and-so or work with so-and-so? It's got to be good work, first and foremost. It's got to be done for the right reasons, with the right intentions, the best of intentions. And it's got to be fun. And what I mean by fun, that doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. It doesn't mean it's not going to be complex or complicated. It just means it's going to be fun. Like, it's got to be fun. It can't just be misery-inducing something or another. And I've got to tell you, man, to everybody out there, again, it might seem a little crude or simplistic, but it's not steered me wrong yet. And every time that I have bent or broke one of those rules, it's good work done for the right reasons, but this is not going to be fun. Like, it's just not going to be fun as far as fun goes in my book. It doesn't work out well. It just doesn't. That's just me. And so I continue to do that, and it keeps me smiling. It's, at least, let me put it this way, it's part of what keeps me smiling in my professional life. How are things going for you? I hope that things are going absolutely well. To all my safety friends out there, to all my friends out there fighting this good fight, as we like to say, I hope you're doing well. Do me a favor, drop me a line. Let me know how things are going. I have been here, I have been there, I have been everywhere, and I feel a bit disconnected, unfortunately, from the community. Many of you, we communicate here or there, or we have communicated here or there, but it's been a minute, because I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and you probably have been too, but I'm going to be reaching out to some of you, and I hope that some of you reach out to me, even if it's just for a quick Zoom call, a quick catch-up, just a, hey, how you doing, how the family, making sure everybody's okay. It's been a minute, and I think we're long overdue for that. Maybe even a virtual hangout at some point, in more of a formal, informal something. I don't know. But be on the lookout in your emails. I'm going to be reaching out to a bunch of you just saying, hey, hello, howdy, what's up? And if I don't get to you, please, please, please force that on me and email me and say, hey, you said you were going to reach out. How are you doing? I think we need to do that more than what we do. We get busy. It's life. But do me a favor. Head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. If you need a hand, you know how to get a hold of me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Learning teams, hop fundamentals, keynotes, workshops, consulting, coaching, and on and on and on and on and on. like, follow, share, subscribe. I think I'm saying all the stuff that I'm trying to remember the stuff that I need to say, because I'm just trying to jump right into today's episode instead of giving you a 20-minute monologue like I usually do. You know all the stuff. Pick up the books, like, share, review, subscribe, all the stuff that you can do to help us out here. It means an absolute ton to us. We are thankful for every single like, every single share, every single person that shows a picture of the book or sees me out and about and grabs a selfie with me while we're at an event and you post it. It means a ton to us. It truly does, and it helps us take this message far and wide, so far into a world that needs this message of learning and improving and of making things a bit better. So with all that said, let's just jump right into today's episode. I did fail to mention, I think, right there at the beginning of this thing, that you've probably noticed that we have been sharing, I have been sharing, quite a bit of these, like, really cool, like, little art poster things for different episodes of the podcast, at least as much as we possibly can, right? I've created one or two of those. I've got some friends that are artists that have created some of those. We've had some independent artists create some of those where we're just like, hey, go check out the podcast, check out what we got going on, and draw us a cool poster. Your choice subject matter. Just roll with it. And I think we've come up with some really cool stuff. Some of those have been the caricature, kind of sit down, hang out in the air quotes here, the studio. I thought they did a really good job of capturing the essence of kind of my collection of crap that sits behind me. So we've been doing this. And what I wanted to say here was that if you're a bit artistic, or maybe you're not all that artistic, but you feel like doodling, or you like doodling, and you probably think you're not very good at it, but I promise you, you're way better than I am. You're probably excellent at it. And you feel like doodling something for the show, and you can send it over to thehopnerd@gmail.com, and I'll share it. I'll tag you in it. It might even be the cover of the podcast. Like, I'll take it and throw an episode number on it and, you know, a title, and we will absolutely just get it out there. And I would love to see some more of your artistic side. I doodle. I told you before in some other episodes, I bought this little hookup to my computer, whatever you call this, doodle pad, you know, because that's just what I use. I don't have an iPad like so many of you do. I just don't. I'm not an iPad person. It's not that I hate them. It's just I've never got one. I don't know why, but I just haven't. And I pull out this handy dandy little pen thing here. You know, I doodle in Adobe Illustrator because I got all that Adobe crap because it works. It's like the best, right? And I doodle and I come up with stuff and I color it in and I make logos and I do just fun stuff with it. It's a good little kind of meditation for me. It's a good little de-stress to just pull that pad out and right in the middle of a busy day and just draw something. Just draw something. I mean, I just immediately feel better. So if you're doing stuff like that and you want a good subject to draw about, draw something for the podcast and send it over to us. And like I said, we'll tag you in it. We'll post it. We'll get it out there. It'll be super fun, super cool. It's something neat that a way that you can interact with the show that's a little different, I think, than maybe how we do this with our normal corporate-y workplace safety, leadership, improvement kind of podcast. So, yeah, let me know. TheHopNerd@gmail.com. Just send me over what you got. It'd be super duper cool. So today what I wanted to talk about was a little bit more of, I guess, more of the tactical nuts and bolts of learning teams. We've been doing a lot of these kind of deeper dive learning team facilitation sessions. And you know me, if you've sat through some of my learning team sessions, especially kind of the higher level learning team overview, here's what learning teams are. Here's the basics of how we do them. Here's some stuff to get started, you know, go have fun, experiment, start in a safe to fail setting, and just go out and learn. Like, just be curious with genuine, well-intended operational curiosity and go discover the story of normal, almost always successful everyday work. But for some of us, we do need a little bit more of a structure. It's just our personalities, I guess. I don't know. I'm a give me less structure. Give me the intent. Give me the meaning. Let me go get creative and figure out the in-between. I got that part. Don't worry about it. Give me the framework. Some people want a little bit more than the framework. And I guess that's some of maybe what I wanted to chat a bit about today, because I get asked questions around what are the roles of a learning team. So let's break this down pretty quickly. I'm not going to drag this on too awful much, but let's start here. Let's start with the main kind of roles. You've got the owner, the facilitator. A lot of times you'll have a scribe, and then you'll have team members. Okay, the owner. That's usually a leader level somebody in your organization. That's the person that is really the sponsor of this learning team. A lot of times they're going to be that senior leader that introduces a session. They step in, they say, hey, everybody, thanks for being here. We're really serious about this whole learning team thing. We're happy that you are participating in this. Hopefully you weren't voluntold to be here. And if you were, I hope that by the time you get done with this session that you see the power of these things and you see the good intention behind them. This is a place where we're looking for operational reality. It's just information. Share with us the truth. Really, tell us the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the weird, the strange, and everything in between. Your story of normal work as it relates to, insert whatever we're trying to learn more about here. And then they go, hear that? That's me peacing out. Peace out, right? They're out, right? They get out of there. Now, the hard part for, I think, the owner, the sponsor, a lot of times in these situations is getting the heck out of there. A lot of times we're like, I'm a good person. Like, this team knows me. I'm going to sit in the corner and just listen in. I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll STFU, right? I'll STFU. And it'll be fine. But we know that it never is, right? From our perspective as that leader, as that sponsor, especially as a more senior leader, a lot of times in an organization, folks in that learning team, they know, hey, yeah, you know what? Sam's a pretty good guy. Yeah, you know, Sam, I trust him. But he's still like the boss's boss. And he's sitting in the corner. And I'm going to talk about some stuff that... I don't know. I don't know if I can really talk about it with him being here. This is making it harder for me to speak truth. This is making it harder for me. This is really diminishing this environment, right? This environment that hopefully we're creating in which honesty is possible, where people can tell us the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, the story of normal everyday work. So senior leaders out there, people out there that are being the sponsor, the owner slash sponsor of these learning teams, get in there, kick them off, speak from the heart. Encourage people to tell us their story of normal work. Let them know that nothing negative is going to come out of this. We're only seeking learning because we only view information as information. It's not good or bad. We're just trying to improve things, and they are integral to that part of making things better, of really helping us discover that story of normal everyday work, that story of operational reality, and helping us create what better looks like together. Warts and all, good, bad, raw, real, warts and all, together. So other than kicking this thing off, a big thing that your owners or your owner slash sponsor is really going to be focused on is supporting the team. Now, on the tail end of this, I'm going to tell you that one thing that they should really spend time focused on is helping to drive actions, right? So whatever recommendations come out of that learning team, you know, taking that, helping that team drive whatever those recommendations are, hopefully prioritized recommendations, right? We're taking those because we know we can't just take and improve the world. We have things that are going to give us more bang for our buck, and we see those things, and hopefully that's a recommendation that's coming from that team. They're prioritizing those things. These are the things that are most important. They're going to be most impactful to us doing the work, helping us to render operational reality a bit better, a bit more in our favor. Now, what I mean by driving actions is, of course, like, we have to drive actions. Like, we have to follow up on things. We have to push on things sometimes in our organizations. A lot of times they're big, old, and slow. And that's just how it goes. Right? That sounds like a good, big, old, and slow. That's just how it goes. I don't know. It sounds like a pretty good rhyme or rap song, or at least a big, old, and slow, like a good country song maybe. But don't dump the assigning of actions just on your facilitator or on your learning teams. It's a place where I see people kind of get a little sideways more often than not. It's easy to go, well, the facilitator, make it a rule in our process that part of what the facilitator and the learning team does before they're done, damn it, is they assign actions. And they make sure that those are, there are aggressive due dates, and then they follow up, and then they, and then they, and then they, and then they. Your learning team facilitator, so your team members and your SMEs that might be on your learning team, guess where they're going when that learning team's done? You guessed it. Ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. They're going back to work. Yeah. So they don't have time. They just don't. Your facilitator, by the time they get done with this learning team, guess where they're probably off to? To do another learning team. Yeah. More than likely. So I tend to encourage the owner, the sponsor, and usually the people that work with them or for them, right? Their support staff, to help, to be the ones that assign and drive actions. They usually have a little bit more bandwidth. They're a little bit more familiar with whatever your action tracking something is. And I know you got an action tracking something, because you know how I know? Everybody's got an action tracking something. Everybody's got one of those. Yeah. You with me? Plus, that sponsor, that owner of that learning team, they're usually a bit more senior. Actions coming from them, you sometimes have a bit more oomph. Yeah. Not only that, but back to really vantage point in the organization, they're up a little bit farther. They can see a little bit wider sometimes, and they know the team maybe a little bit better. They know who would be the best person to actually work on that action. Not only the person that has the right skill set, but the person that has enough time and space plus ability to make those actions actually happen. Does that sound fair? Does that sound right? To me, it sounds right. Again, I'm just having a conversation with you. To me, that's where I've seen that work about the best. So introduce the session. Get the heck out of there. Support the team. We need flip charts. We need burritos. We need a space. More so than that, what you usually hear is like, we really need those people on this learning team. And we've made a request, but we haven't heard back. Can you help us get those people? Can you make sure that we're bringing those people in, that that crew has enough people or temp people to help them while we steal these folks from ops for the next, you know, in a couple hours today, a couple hours tomorrow? And just, we don't want to set them up to fail, but we need them, right? It's more around those things, like giving people time and space, and literally sometimes space, like here's a room. And of course, as we said, here's the pizza. You got to have pizza. You got to have coffee. At a very minimum, you got to have plenty of coffee and sometimes pastries. And on a really good day, you need plenty of coffee. I prefer to see the cold brew variety, as you know, coming in those nice big cold brew pitchers. And on a really, really, really good day, cold brew and burritos. Yeah, now we're speaking that language of learning and improvement. Right? I don't know. That just sets my brain on fire. That just makes it work for me. So moving on a bit to the facilitator, I really want to spend a bit of time here, just briefly saying this, is that the facilitator sets the expectations, they set the stage, and where I'm really going with this is the facilitator owns the learning environment. That's important. The facilitator owns the learning environment. Okay, so they help to create that environment in which honesty is possible. They do what they need to do as a facilitator to own that environment. So for me, something that I would regularly do, especially on our kind of early days of learning and improving with learning teams, one thing that I would always do, because we were coming out of a space of being very blame and shame focused, very punitive, and a good, healthy amount of distrust for good reasons. Yeah, because we were real good as an organization at beating blame and shame and all the above. We know that story. We don't have to dive into that too deep. But one thing that I would do to help create that environment is I would tell people, and of course you have to prove it to them, but I would tell people that I'm shutting the door and whatever you talk about in here, you can tell me anything in the world. We can have this conversation with each other, and it will not leave this room if you tell me it does not leave this room. And no matter what it is, it's like, you know, patient, doctor, privacy, attorney, client, privilege, priest, something, whatever happens in confession booths. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You tell me and you say, this doesn't leave this room. We're all sworn to secrecy that it doesn't leave this room. That's just how this has to work. And that rarely, if ever, happened. It happened once or twice. And guess what? It didn't leave that room. It just didn't. We proved it to them. And so that's a place to start, especially if you're in that organization that has a really, really huge element of distrust. Some other things that I would do is, obviously, we use flip charts. We get information up in front of people. People see what we're writing down. But when I would take and compile those notes, because I would tend to distill those down into a Word doc, into more easily readable notes, sorted a bit there. And I would tend to start on that during the soak time a little bit in between session one and session two. And then I would wrap that up with the recommendations and the prioritized recommendations that the team had made, after session two. Part of the promise that was made is I don't send this anywhere, and I don't care who in the heck asked me for it. I don't care if it's the owner and CEO. I will not send this information anywhere until everyone in this team approves it. It's helpful. They know you're not going to share stuff. You're not going to send out super duper secret squirrel notes. I know it sounds little, but it made a huge impact in our efforts in that owning the learning environment, helping to create a learning environment, especially where those situations were, or that particular situation was a bit more pointed in the past. Yeah. So I would send it to them. I would send it to them in an email, and I would say, review this. Let me know. Again, I'm not sending this anywhere. I'm dependent on you. You tell me how to send this. I'm not. You tell me what to take out, what to tweak, what to change. That almost never happened. The tweak, to take out the change don't send almost never happened. Almost everybody by that point had sent that and said, hey, no, this is good. I love it. It's exactly what we're talking about. This is it. I don't see anything that we missed. I don't see anything that, you know, you misinterpreted there. This looks great. That's some of the legwork, right, of capturing good notes and all those different things. So as we said, facilitator owns a learning environment. They set expectations. They create that learning environment. They help to keep the conversation on track. They herd the cats. You know, especially if you're doing something around a bit of a sensitive subject, or if you're just starting on these things, especially when you're just starting on these things, about the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of a learning team is just a pressure relief valve, right? People just blah, vent, right? They just out there, and that's good. That's okay. That's okay. Because usually they blah, and then they're like, okay, now let's get back on track. So some of those things you're not having to tend to almost as directly, just kind of let it play a little bit and then bring them back in. You're also in that position of making sure that everyone has the opportunity to speak. Everyone is listened to. Again, just some really basic facilitator things. So owner or sponsor and the facilitator. Now the scribe, we know what a scribe is. It's a fancy pants way of saying the person that takes notes. Now we know that they manage the wall of discovery, and I'm not going to really dive too deep into this because I feel like it's pretty self-explanatory. But the piece that I think that is important to add here is that if you're just starting with learning teams, and you got you and your buddy and maybe a couple other folks out there that are, you know, really into this whole HOP and learning teams thing, do them together. Co-facilitate when you first start. One of you be the facilitator, one of you be the scribe. Really, you're co-facilitating. You're there helping each other out. That's really what it is. It's boosted your confidence a little bit to have your buddy there with you. And when they're facilitating, it's boosting their confidence to have you there. And as a new facilitator or a newer facilitator, as you're figuring your way through this process, learning this thing out, you're not trying to take notes and, you know, having a conversation over here and a handy dandy flip chart marker in this hand trying to scribe over here, your eyes crossed looking, or I guess not really crossed, opposite of crossed, diverging in two different directions. You're not stuck doing that. So it makes it a little bit physically easier for you as well. And it lets you really focus on the conversation. But again, most important of all, you're there to support each other, which is very helpful. Now, the last part of this is obviously the individual and the team member. And I get that question a lot. Who should be on this learning team? Well, glad you asked. Whoever is the person that actually lives with, works on that particular thing, that problem, that pain point, the person that was involved in that actual event, those nearest to work, those with the best understanding of whatever operational reality it is that you seek to understand. Now, on top of that, you can have and should have, when you need them, an SME, if it's related to something that SME needs to be there for, like, I don't know, a safety person is a good one sometimes, based on what you're looking at. Sometimes even an HR person or an engineer or an environmental scientist or somewhere along those lines. Have them there when you need them, for how long you need them. You can easily have them in there. But those are the basic roles that you will see on most learning teams. Again, the owner, the facilitator, the scribe, fancy pants way of saying note taker, and the team members. So I wanted to share that with you because I get that question a lot around this like tactical pointy piece. Tell me that exact structure. Well, that's kind of it. That's kind of it. I don't think that you need to make it much more complicated than that. Again, I think in this process, a lot of where we start to mess up is we take something that's pretty flexible. It's not a rigid process something. And we start to maybe overly structure that. We start to really kind of box that in and make it super strict. And you got to have this and you got to have that and you got to do this and you got to do that. Again, I'm going to put a lot of that back onto a facilitator as they become more and more and more and more experienced. You know kind of what you need as a facilitator once you start playing with these things a bit. You know, okay, this team, I really need about 6 people, 7 people close to the work that do that work. I definitely need that environmental person here because this is an environmental issue. It deals with some regs. We need to know how that fits in. I need, I'm good. I think I'm good. Oh, and I think I know who needs these actions. I can help to assign those. But I'm going to lean on the owner to help me drive them, right? So it's always going to look a little bit different, and that's okay. That's okay. Don't get too bent up around the axle about rigid process and structure and making sure that rigid process and structure is always exactly the same from learning team, learning team. I think the happy point is somewhere in the middle. as it so often is. So I don't know. I think maybe over the next little bit, we'll add in a little bit more of the tactical bits around learning teams, like the structural bits that some of you ask for. It's not a bad conversation to have. It's truly not. It's not a bad conversation to have. And that's all I've got for you today. I'm going to leave you right where I leave you with most things with learning teams. If you're new to this, learn as much as you can. There's a lot of great stuff out there to read. This podcast you can listen in on. We talk a bit about learning teams and 10 ideas to make safety suck less. One of my favorite books out there is Bob's Guide to Operational Learning. It's an excellent resource if you're going down this path. Gather that information. You can download over on the website in the download section. Duh, that's really easy to find, huh? You can go right over there and you can download stuff and some quick learning team guides, some how-to stuff, and just go out and give it a shot in a small-scale, safe-to-fail setting. Give it a shot. And hopefully with a bit of this information around roles and responsibilities, it'll help you be a little bit more successful. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.